Aurora, He-Man's twin sister and defender of the Crystal Castle. This is Spirit, my beloved steed. Fabulous secrets were revealed to me the day I held aloft my sword and said, "For the honor of Grayskull!" A few others share this secret. Among them are Light Hope, Madam Raz, and Cowl. Together, we and my friends of the Great Rebellion strive to free Etheria from the evil forces of Horda!
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 65th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise, as always, is the one, the only, TFG...
Ram Man.
Oh, I said Rain Man. I was like, I can see
that. No, not Rain Man.
I can see that.
Yeah, I'm old, I'm fat, just like Ram Man, I know.
TFG on Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing better than you because it sounds like the Civil War in your backyard.
Apparently, the Civil War has been reenacted in my backyard, and I don't know if I'm safe. The Etherian War.
Are we sure that's that those are fireworks and not cannon fodder?
I'm not sure. It could be the Horde. I don't know what's going on right now. So if all of a sudden you hear nothing else from me, I have apparently met my maker. So,
yes.
Are you ready for more Mess of Etheria?
Yeah, I guess. I'll say this. I was surprised. I wasn't sure. As everyone knows, I was groaning and complaining.
So intrigued for our discussion today. Because in this episode of Mess of Etheria, we'll actually be giving you our thoughts on episode 55... Looky Lends a Hand, episode 56 of Shadows and Skulls, and episode 57, Jungle Fever.
It sounds like a dead body just dropped out of your ceiling.
It's going to be an interesting record, so we hope you're ready, because it's time to take cover and go back to Etheria.
Another beautiful day. Now let's see, where shall I hide today? I'll look below. Gee, it's awfully quiet around here. What's going on? Nothing's moving in these woods but me. Not even these leaves. I don't like this. I better see if the door and the others are all right. Adora! Quiver! It's me! Looky! There's something definitely... wrong in the woods. Bo! Don't just sit there. Move! Please, move! Madam Raz, use your magic to fix everything. Glimmer! What's that thing? Oh, no! A Horde machine! That's what's done this! But where's She-Ra? I've got to find her. Only She-Ra can do anything about this.
Looky!
Who's there?
It is Light Hope. Enter the portal.
I don't know. This may be a trick.
She-Ra needs you.
She-Ra needs me? You had better be telling the truth, whatever you are, or you'll be sorry.
Not much time left. Time freeze almost reaches here. You must go to Eternia and find He-Man.
What about She-Ra? Why can't she... Adora and Spirit are frozen! Frozen too. But where is She-Ra?
Adora is She-Ra. You are the only one who can reach her brother, He-Man. That is why I am telling you their secret.
What? Adora is She-Ra? That means that He-Man is...
Prince Adam. Quickly, now I will open a portal to Eternia. Hurry, my little friend, and good luck. Must hold on, Loki. Can't hold the portal. I must get him to someplace on Eternia. Anywhere.
All Eternia is asleep now. Soon I'll have the royal palace in which to lay my head instead of this crummy snake mountain.
How are you going to do that, Skeletor?
Well, first I...
I'll get him, Skeletor.
Miserable beast.
You're not He-Man.
You had better have a good explanation.
No, it wasn't me, Skeletor. No, you see, this little...
Skeletor? Boy, am I in the wrong place. Oh, no. Now, what do I do? I don't know how to find He-Man.
One of your beasties, eh? Where was I?
You were telling me how you planned to take the palace.
All right, we start today with probably the most anticipated episode for me of the entire series, episode 55, Loki Lends a Hand. Air date, Thursday, November 21st, 1985, written by Robert Lamb. Hordak has completed a time-freezing device that makes time stop in the Whispering Woods and freezes the rebels, including Adora. Light Hope enlists the help of magical hider, Loki, and sends him to Eternia to fetch He-Man. So we have Hordak, Catra, Shadow Weaver, Beastman, Skeletor, Imp, Mantenna, and a Horde Trooper. And then we also have She-Ra, Glimmer, Madame Raz, Sorceress, He-Man, Cringer, Frosta, Orko, Broom, and Light Hope. So we got a action-packed, character-packed episode here where we finally get to see Loki take a shift from the PSA to an actual in-episode moment other than just hiding. What did you think about the plot for Loki Lends a Hand?
Okay, first of all, I have to say, and I have not, you know, in the last 64, well, in the from episode 35 to now, or whenever it was that we started this show, no, 46. Yeah, 48 technically, considering, but, ever since we started She-Ra last year, I hate PSA Loki. I can't stand the character at all. And surprisingly, he's not as bad as I thought he was going to be.
Oh man, can we pause for a minute? Moment of silence. So you didn't mind the plot that brings him into the story, huh?
I was wondering how they were going to do it. Because I'm like, all he does is hide and then pop out and then show you where he was hiding and then give you a lame ass. No, don't get me wrong. Some of the PSAs are great. Some of the messages are great. But also because this is 130 cartoons, mm-hmm. or not well, 93 mm-hmm. technically for She-Ra. Because it's 93 cartoons, the PSAs sometimes repeat or they say the same message, but they word it differently. You know,
right.
Kind of like, Scott Tracker and, oh, don't leave the stove on, or
right.
Oh, make sure you have a fire extinguisher in case the stove catches, or whatever. Fucking mask. Anyway, so I wasn't sure exactly how they were going to bring a character in that has never been in before, but they do it surprisingly well.
I like what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Basically, how they bring him in is he's in a tree somewhere, either in the Whispering Woods or right on the outskirts of the Whispering Woods or wherever the hell. He's not in the Fright Zone.
Right. I think he's in neither. I think he's kind of in the middle area.
Yeah. And he says, oh, where should I hide today? And he looks around and notices that even the leaves are frozen. Elsa was there, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, right? Hey, at least I didn't bring up the other sister who, you know, doesn't do a background check on a future... Anyway. That movie. So I like that. I like how he goes through the entire episode without really... He does stuff, but he doesn't really do anything. Because at the end of the... And I know we're not at the end yet, but at the end of the episode, he says that his magic is only for hiding. So it's not like he's going to come out and, you know, start, you know, punching
right.
people. You know, it's not like he's going to kick Beastman in the nuts or something.
Right.
Which he probably could have, but anyway.
So you're not opposed to the plot here, huh?
No, not really. It's probably one of the better crossovers.
I like it. All right, well, let's get into this. Let's take a quick break, and we'll get into more details into what works and what doesn't work for Luki Lends a Hand.
Oh, yes. With this magic crystal, I can make a portal that will take me right into Prince Adam's bedroom. With him as my prisoner, King Randor will be forced to give me the palace.
Prince Adam, that's him.
There. Now stay away, Beastman. This portal can only be used once. What?
See? There it went again.
Imbecile! Your beastie has spoiled my plans. I'll get you for that, even if it's the last thing I do.
What? Is it morning already? What is that, Cringer?
Looks like a portal to me. A portal? And what's that coming out of it?
Prince Adam, you must come quickly. We've got real trouble on Etheria.
Etheria? Adora. Is Adora all right?
Hey, what's a big idea? Some of us are trying to sleep.
Cringer, it's only Orko. Look, whoever you are, you didn't answer my question. Is my sister all right?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Something bad has happened. You must come to Etheria right away. Only, I don't know how to get back.
The sorceress can handle that.
Hey, I want to go too.
I'll just stay here and keep your bed warm.
And then I stepped out of the portal into Prince Adam's room.
Excuse me, but if we go to Etheria, won't the machine freeze us too?
Yes, and why weren't you frozen?
Loki is a creature of magic like you, Orko. The whole device has no effect on either of you.
But what about me? I'm not magic.
But your sword is. As long as you hold your sword, you will be protected from the time freeze. But first, you must become He-Man.
Yes, there's no time to waste.
By the power of Grayskull!
And now for the portal. Good luck, He-Man.
All right, we've made our way for the first time today into the Whispering Woods to talk about our Whispering Woods moments, or the highlights of Luki Lends a Hand. I'm going to let you go first, because otherwise you're going to be waiting for me to get done for a while. So what did you like most about this episode? I don't want to steal all yours.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain... Like, I wasn't sure how they were going to bring him in, because the first, like, 10 minutes of the episode has, like, nothing to do with him until we you know, pan around and we see him. Mm. First note, obviously, was love seeing Frosta, because this is only the second time ever we've seen Frosta, and we see her more than just 5 minutes of her, oh, I'm going back home, and oh yeah, here, you can have a snow day. You know,
wasn't much more, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, but I'm saying, like, we got more in the first 5 or 10 minutes of this cartoon with Frosta than we did before.
Yeah,
so
that.
This episode is kind of amazing, even despite how Lukey is in the PSAs normally, because they actually, Robert Lamb gave him more character development than I thought could ever be given to someone who was just in a PSA.
Right.
I mean, if they had started the series outside of, obviously, Secret of the Sword, if they had started the series with Lukey being a character in, like, you know, I equate it to Copper Kid.
Okay.
I know you're going to probably either yell at me or high-five me for this, but I equate Lukey to Copper Kid. I can't stand Lukey. Copper Kid's all right. I kind of like Copper Kid, but Copper Kid in Silverhawks is actually in the episodes. He's in the plots. So if somehow Lukey has been this background character the whole time, is how this episode is saying he has been, I would have loved it if they actually showed him in the episodes other than the whole hiding bull thing, you know, before this. But I do like how they wrote him in, and like I said, Robert Lamb gave him more character than I thought could ever be given to a character that's just in a PSA.
Yeah, I think it was masterfully done by Robert Lamb in finding a way to naturally make him a part of the story that didn't feel like it was forced. It didn't feel like it was unnatural. So I don't know how else they could have done it or how else they could have incorporated him into series if I would have liked it or not, but I do like the way they did it here.
Yeah, absolutely. The other one was... we go to Hordak and Skeletor and all that, and that's you know, great stuff. But Lukey ends up, he goes to Light Hope, and he ends up, Light Hope is, you know, like a dying Zordon from the 95 Power Rangers movie.
Don't make me leave our own podcast.
What?
Don't make me leave our podcast.
Hey, you know, you gotta break bad every now and then with Bryan Cranston being Zordon. Anyway, he goes to Light Hope, and Light Hope is just like, you know, I wish Light Hope had an actual character image in the show other than just, you know, giant shiny northern lights, because it would have been easy, like, showing a character that's just nothing but, you know, prisms of light. The only way you can show that character dying is if you turn the light off. Or you fade it, or you shimmer it, or you shatter it, you know. So the way that it was shown was more so in his voice, because his voice was like really down here, and oh my god, I can't do it. I gotta hold on. I gotta get him to Eternia and all that. And
how was that?
So
it threw me off at first, because I didn't realize that they were saying that he was being affected by it too, and I'm like, why does Light Hope have a different voice in this episode?
it was a little strange. But so Light Hope sends him to Eternia, but he doesn't send him to a place where he would be welcome. Lukey ends up in Snake Mountain, of all places. And by far, I know in the 4 years and the 45 episodes, the 130 episodes of He-Man that we did, Skeletor had a lot of great lines. But damn, this is the Skeletor comedy hour, this episode. This was awesome.
Yeah.
At one point, he's like, now what was I telling you, Beast Man? If you were telling me about how you were going to take... Oh, yes, that's right. You know, just the whole thing. Just absolutely love it. And... for some odd reason, he thinks that when Lukey pops in, because Lukey pops in, pops on Skeletor's head, which then goes into the crystal ball, that Skeletor, and the crystal ball just like flattens. And I'm like, what the hell? And he assumes it's one of Beastman's creatures. And Lukey then takes the thing that Skeletor was going to use to get into the palace and gets into the palace, and we see Adam and Cringer. The only time we'll... I don't know. I can't say if it's the only time we'll ever see Cringer in Princess of Power, but to this point, it's the only time we've ever seen Cringer outside of Secret of the Sword. The only thing is, why couldn't we have seen Battle Cat? Why couldn't Cringer have gone on the adventure too? Damn it. And then as we go through, and I know you got a lot here, but I'm going to... As soon as He-Man and Lukey get back to Etheria, mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so if He-Man has to hold his sword, no pun intended, folks, to stay outside of time, how is he going to get... he's going to put her sword in her hand, and then you never cross the swords, people. You never cross the streams. Come on!
Except for when you have to.
Yeah, they do a really, really weird... I'll have screen caps in the episode post. When I took the screen caps, when he does the By the Power of Grayskull, it's a really, really weird animation effect. It almost... It just doesn't look right. The whole color of the mist of the two swords touching, it's just weird. But so, you know, never cross the swords, all that. I really dug this episode. What about you?
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff to say. I do like how the episode starts immediately with like a battle standoff between the Horde and the Rebellion. I thought that was a cool, like, just get in the action. You don't need to set up. You're just like, okay, I'm ready to see what's going on. I love that Imp gets turned into a loudspeaker horn, and that when Hordak is talking through Imp, that Imp's mouth as the horn is moving still. So it's like Hordak speaking through a loudspeaker, and you're hearing Hordak's voice, but you're seeing Imp's mouth move to the words.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
I like that. Frosta, I could use some more Frosta, please. Enough with the 2-minute cameos. Let's get an episode about Frosta, please.
Yeah, that's a cool chill we can use all the time.
Yeah. Mantenna, always the guinea pig. I like how they've developed that and kind of stuck with him being the one that's always getting picked on. Like I said before, I love Lucky being in the episode, and more so, though, how they did it with him looking for his hiding place, and he even mentions that. And how did no one think of having him in an episode up through this point? Like,
I don't know.
It was a genius idea, I think, and I'm surprised it took this long for somebody to say, why don't we put him in an episode? Also, they freeze time, so everybody in the Whispering Woods that's not magical is frozen, basically.
No, even magical people are frozen because Glimmer's frozen and Madame Raz and Broom are frozen.
Well, I don't know. Well, I guess that brings up something then, because magic was the thing that was keeping other people from being frozen. Right. So,
well, yeah, Sorceress said the magic of the sword.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, there was some type of magical, but what we had is we had everybody in the Whispering Woods ended up being frozen regardless at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I like how it not only included just background Rebellion members that we, you know, no-name characters, it also included the characters that we've already seen in the episode, like Bo and Glimmer, etc. And then it even included known characters that yet had not been in the episode. One scene, you see Cowl frozen in the background, and he's not even in the episode otherwise. So I like that they just kind of added those elements of just having people we know just randomly be frozen doing their own daily activities. And I also like that it was almost hitting Light Hope. Even though it took me a minute to figure that out based on his voice, I do like that it was almost far enough to reach him, so he was being affected as well. Mm-hmm. Light Hope tells Lucky that Adora is She-Ra. Yeah. I mean, some people might not like that. I don't know if you liked it or not, but I thought it was interesting because that's definitely something we never see in these series. We always have the intro music or the setup to the show, and we always know that two or three, four characters
It's Madame Raz, right. Broom.
But I'm just saying, in He-Man and She-Ra, that always outlines who knows. I don't remember any other time where somebody else found out besides those people, and it was addressed in the episode. Not just like, hey, somebody probably saw that and they shouldn't have, but literally we're telling somebody that this is what's happening. So I thought that was interesting.
Well, really, two secrets got revealed in this, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Okay, Lucky didn't have to climb Skydancer Mountain, but like She-Ra had to find the Crystal Castle. But essentially, Light Hope transported him there. We open, like, once Lucky goes through the portal to get to the Crystal Castle, we open after that at the traditional Crystal Castle entrance that we always see, and then we move into the inside. So basically, Lucky got to know where the Crystal Castle was almost, and obviously he knows that She-Ra is Adora.
And that Adam is He-Man. So
yeah,
I do like that they even included Adora being frozen in that mix. That was interesting because then it really kind of isolated Luki as the only hope for them. I like how, like you pointed out, I like how he ends up in Snake Mountain. That's all Light Hope had the ability to do. And so we're left trying to see how Luki is going to navigate Snake Mountain and also end up at the castle to see Adam. And then it's funny because we go to Snake Mountain and it's literally like Skeletor hasn't missed a beat. He's still doing everything we saw in He-Man. Like it's just like business as usual with Beastman.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like you get that feeling that all this has been going on and we've just not been a part of the adventures that have happened in the last little bit, but things are still carrying on as usual. So, and then that scene ends with Skeletor chasing Beastman down the halls.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got a good laugh out of that. Again, this series at times does an excellent job with lighting or like shadow or shade effects. And when you go into Adam's bedroom, I thought they did an excellent job with kind of the shadowy lighting effects that they did for that time. So I enjoyed that. Like you said, Cringer and Orko get to be seen here. We don't get to see a lot of them when the crossovers happen. So just overall, I just thought it was a fun episode. We got to see Skeletor. We got to see Luki do his thing. And I just thought it all worked well and flowed together. So I have two minor nitpicks, and that's about it. So we can make our way to the Fright Zone to see if you can bring this episode down for me or not.
The only thing, I only have two things. So first of all, Hordak himself can turn into a Destructo tank. Seriously?
His power knows no limits.
Apparently. And this is going to be a running theme through this podcast episode. What the hell is wrong with Shadow Weaver's voice? It sounds weird as hell when she yells at Imp.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like her normal voice. What else did you have?
Just two very, very minor nitpicks. At first, I was going to talk about Light Hope's voice, but then I figured out why they were doing that. Frosta, I love her, but she says, I'm going to make the biggest ice wall yet. And then she does her thing, and it's like a size that a 10-year-old would build, like if he was building a fort. It ends up being bigger in the next shot, but it's still not the biggest ice wall ever.
Don't
give us false promises there. And then when Adam and She-Ra, or He-Man and She-Ra, eventually get back to the Whispering Woods to, you know, they're unfrozen, they've crossed streams and everything, as they enter, they make the comment of, we have much to do. Really not. You don't have that much to do. There's one thing there, so we just have to destroy that one thing. Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't like it was a complex, complicated, like we have to put this piece here and then figure out this puzzle and then go over there. It was, no, there's one thing causing this. We need to find a way to destroy it.
And they end up in the world's biggest match of tug of war.
That was an interesting thing there, but that was my only thing.
There was one scene where they... And, well, we've been doing this long enough, you should remember. Remember all the running scenes and that kind of stuff? Yeah. There's one scene where instead of them pulling it as towards them as tug of war, where she's pulling like a workhorse and he's pushing. And he's pushing on it and he's got his legs bent and she's pulling. And I'm like, oh, my God. Seriously,
we also got to see the swords moving. Bend in a way I've never seen them bend before.
Oh, the bendy sword! Oh, I just couldn't take a screen. I may go back and take a screen cap of that, but once I saw that, I was like, "Oh, you people! Oh, God, that was horrible."
But that's really it. I don't have any like major gripes about the episode, other than just a couple of things that they said that didn't seem to ring quite true. The PSA was about size not mattering. Little people can help too.
Yeah.
Trying to get that message across to the youngsters.
Yes, of course.
To avoid trauma at their older stages of life. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
There's going to be a couple of images in the post, and...
I don't like that you say that there are going to be a couple of images in the post after I talk about a PSA that says size doesn't matter.
No, images.
Yeah.
Why does it have anything to do with size?
I don't want to see any images in relation to that PSA.
Oh, no. Come on now. Oh, images that are related to the show, thank you. Get your mind to God. And people say, I have my mind in the gutter.
Is it time to take a break yet?
No. There's a point when they get back to, when He-Man and Lukey get back to Etheria, it's right after he puts her sword in her hand and he touched it. It's right after that that they cross the swords, that they're hugging. Mm-hmm. They don't sheathe their swords. They both hold on to their sword. They're standing next to Swiftwind, and they're hugging. And she's got her sword behind his back, and he's got her sword. He's got his sword behind her back. And I'm like, wouldn't you put those away? It's kind of like running with scissors, don't you think? I mean, come on.
You know, talk about my mind, and you're the one talking about crossing swords and streams and size doesn't matter. And I don't know where we're going with this. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with some hardware and some ratings.
Hurry, He-Man! A door is right over there by the stream. See? Here she is.
Adora. Don't worry, sis, I'm here. By the power of Grayskull.
What? What's going on? Brother, what are you doing here?
Oh, Adora, I thought you might be frozen for good.
Frozen? What are you talking about?
I'll tell you the story on the way to camp. Hurry, we have much to do.
All right, it's hardware time for the first episode today. Mr. TFG and Mike, any horde bats or protection swords that you would like to hand out in this episode?
Protection swords for everybody.
Everybody.
Even Luke.
Oh my God. It can happen.
Yep.
You're not set in your ways. Beyond.
Well, I would have given a horde bat to that, you know, character that I expect to give a horde bat to for every single episode that he's in, but the only thing he did was strum a really bad banjo for 2 seconds before he got frozen. So he didn't actually get to open his mouth, thank God.
True that. I'm going to be more specific with mine. I'm giving a protection sword to the one and only Lukey. he gets his just desserts here because he was phenomenal in this episode. I really like what they did with him. So I will. I've always been supporting him. I have not been the hater of Lukey, but I'm glad that we're on the same page that he was good in this episode. So
I just maybe it's me and my old age. I just don't like the whole, hey, did you find me today? That's the thing I don't like. I understand why they did it back then, because probably as a kid when I would be watching and I'd probably, you know, hey, there's some random, oh, at the end, hey, yeah, I've, you know, that's fine. It would be fine for kids, but as, you know, 36-year-old adult, no.
All right, I think he's way better than T-Bob. What is your rating?
I don't agree with he is, but
how many crystal castles out of five?
Five.
Five? Easy.
Yep.
Awesome. TFG and Mike is in a good mood, everybody.
Let's get worse.
I will give this one I don't know why I'm not giving it a 5.2, but I have down 4.5. So I guess I'm a stickler.
Yes.
I don't give out fives very easy this series, I guess. I think I gave fives out more freely in the He-Man series, but I'm sticking with a 4.5. It still has a shot of being in one of my best episodes of the series, but I'm going to give myself some wiggle room. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking Shadows and Skulls in episode 56.
Do you think they know where we are?
I think they know.
Ah, friend Adora. You and your rebels can't escape us this time. I'm going to try and find a way out of here.
Oh, look. Adora's trying to escape.
Just what I need.
Yeah. go out the same way Adora came in. I guess I'd better make myself a new exit.
Up next is episode 56 of Shadows and Skulls, air date Friday, November 22nd, 1985, the last day before I turned four. Written by Michael Chase Walker, Shadow Weaver is insulted by Hordak and seeks an alliance with Skeletor so she can rule Etheria herself. But of course, Skeletor has no intention of keeping up his part of the bargain. Who do you think he is? We have Hordak, Catra, Shadow Weaver, Scorpia, Skeletor, Imp, Grizzlor, and Spikor. And then we have She-Ra, Bo, Madam Raz, Kaul, Swiftwind, Broom, and Light Hope. So we got...
Didn't they call Spikor... Didn't he call him, like, Nailhead or something?
Yes, he did call him Nailhead in this episode. So what did you think of this three-way episode here that we have Shadow Weaver, Hordak, and Skeletor as the central characters? How did you like it?
It's pretty awesome. I'll say it here.
You got some background with this episode.
Well, yeah, a little bit. I looked at the title and I wasn't sure what to expect. Until I read the description and then I saw the episode. But about halfway through, I'm like, oh, so that's where they got the idea. This episode kind of gave the DC Comics writers, Dan Abnett and other people that have worked on the He-Man comic series at DC Comics, it seems like it gave them the idea for Skeletor and Shadow Weaver to have an affair or some sort of love story in the Eternity War comic. Now, the thing about the DC Comics He-Man stuff, folks, from 2012 till now, they've been doing these comics. Eternity War was the last series. It just ended a little while ago. It had 15 issues. And in this whole series, in the whole time that it's been at DC Comics, well, we'll jump forward a little bit. We've both obviously seen 2002, right?
Yes.
The Mike Young. So we've seen the 2000X cartoon. In that is where they create the whole aspect of Randor and Keldor being brothers and all that. So it's a whole family affair. They do that with the DC Comics as well. So essentially, you know, Randor, Skeletor, brothers, uncles, whatever, all that. So the interesting thing is how the comic goes through and we get to issue, I think it's issue 7 in Eternity War, we learn that Shadow Weaver and Skeletor have some sort of torrid love affair. And they've loved each other for whatever else, but Shadow Weaver is still loyal to Hordak. The funny thing about that issue is it also is a time travel issue where Hordak sends Skeletor back in time because we see how Skeletor gets the Havoc Staff. And it also tells in that issue how... whose head... the Havoc Staff is, and it turns out to be Skeletor's own head on the Havoc Staff because Hordak kills him. It's a really awesome but screwed up timeline kind of thing. It's a really fun thing, but halfway through this episode, I'm like, oh, so that's where they got the idea for that comic issue. This episode itself, again, I just absolutely love the plot here. I thought it was great. Shadow Weaver and Skeletor kind of teaming up was kind of cool. The interesting thing, when you compare Shadow Weaver to Evil-Lyn, Evil-Lyn was always telling Skeletor or always saying behind Skeletor's back that she wanted to take over. It was, to this point... At least, I probably don't remember, but I don't ever really remember Shadow Weaver being disloyal to Hordak. Yes, he insulted her. Yes, whatever else. But she did screw up, so that's why he was insulting her. It wasn't like... I mean, Hordak didn't pull a cowl. He didn't just throw an insult just for the hell of it. I mean, she did screw up. So that's why, you know, he was calling her incompetent and all that stuff. But it's one of those things where... I wasn't sure how that was going to play out, and I really like how it did play out. But like I was saying, Shadow Weaver hasn't really seemed disloyal to Hordak. She's never really expressed like her own wants to rule Etheria.
Yeah.
So, what about you on the plot?
I like the anytime that we get to have two characters kind of focused or three characters focused, and we kind of get to see more of their dynamics and their development. I'm usually a fan of it, and especially when they flip it and it's the evil characters that we get to see it with. So I'm always intrigued by these types of plots. So I was on board from go, and just wanted to see how they executed everything. So I was a big fan of the plot as well. So let's take a quick break. We'll be back to break it down of Shadows and Skulls.
What happened? That stupid magic of yours ruined our trap.
You had Adora in your clutches, and you let her escape. I'm getting sick of your excuses. That's the third time this month your magic has failed us.
Oh, do something awful to her, Great One.
Oh, you big-faced little worm. I'll turn you into a sausage.
Oh, save me! Save me, Great One! She's gonna zap me!
You dare threaten Imp in my presence?
I did not mean...
Out of my sight! Immediately! I will decide your punishment later.
But, mighty Hordak...
I said go, you useless trickster!
Yeah, take off, Shadow Whippy!
Useless, am I? I'll show them. Get rid of him. Yes, yes! That's what I'll do. But I'll need an ally. Oh, it must be someone who hates Hordak as much as I. Someone evil and powerful. But who? He's ideal. I will contact him immediately.
Well, Nailhead, what shall we do to make life miserable for King Randor today?
Gee, I don't know, old...
Skeletor.
What's that?
Shadow Weaver! How dare you come here?
I offer you a chance for revenge on Hordak. Of course, if you're not interested.
What's your plan, Shadow Weaver?
I'll create a dimensional gate for you to come here to Etheria. Then, together we will trap Hordak, and I will become ruler of Etheria.
That's just peachy for you. But what do I get out of it?
For your help, I'll give you everything you need to conquer Eternia. Whatever you want.
Whatever I want, eh? All right, Shadow Weaver, you've got yourself a deal. Send your gate.
It will arrive in a few moments. I shall look forward to your coming.
You sure you can't trust her?
Who said I was going to? Once she's delivered Hordak to me, I'll take care of her, too.
All right, we're back in the Whispering Woods to talk the good, the bad of Shadows and Skulls. You went first last time, so I'll go first this time. Whispering Woods moments. The truce between Shadow Weaver and Skeletor. It's a nice way to start this. It's an interesting dynamic. You're wondering how it's going to play out. So we also learn a new location. Snake Tongue Pass apparently exists in Etheria. That's a funny name for an area of Etheria. I love the Hordak versus Skeletor moments. It's not just that we get to see these two, you know, bicker, argue, or, you know, whatever. We actually get to see them mano a mano battling each other, for lack of a better term. And the only thing that I dislike about this is that I did not see this episode prior to doing the 80s Villain Wars tournament, because we have our answer, guys. Skeletor bests Hordak in the end in a one-on-one contest.
Right.
I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They go back and forth and back and forth. But in the end, Skeletor beats Hordak.
Yeah.
So that is your answer for who would really win in the tournament bracket, Skeletor versus Hordak, I guess. I can't remember when I had a more pleasant day. That is an excellent line from Skeletor.
Yeah.
I can't remember when I had a more pleasant day. That was just awesome. And then we get to see Skeletor on Hordak's throne and also learn, not that we didn't know it before, but it really gets illustrated that nobody outside of Hordak cares for Imp.
Yep.
The Horde does not like this
guy. Yeah, I have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with them not caring about the guy, but I have a problem with some of the Horde members' actions, so we'll talk about that in a bit.
We'll have to get that. Two more, and then I like Shadow Weaver's cunningness in this episode. She is upset. She comes up with a plan. The plan backfires, but she's clever enough to try to get out of it without ever getting in trouble or having any repercussions. And they also had a very cool shot of all the villains at once. I wish I would have screen capped that, but it was kind of all of them in one panoramic view. So I, from a evil character standpoint, from the Horde and Skeletor, etc., this episode, if you're a fan of those characters, this episode is awesome.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This episode is so, so great.
What about you?
The line, it'll be somewhere in the episode. I don't think it's going to be in any of the clips for this episode, but it's going to be, I'm either going to have it at the beginning of the podcast or something. There's a line where, what does she say? What does she say to Skeletor when she first goes to stop him, when he first appears? What the hell is Shira? Oh God. Anyway, I really dug that line. The whole Skeletor, Hordak, Shadow Weaver thing, I thought that was great. Like you said, Shadow Weaver basically just covering her own tracks. That was pretty cool. The fact that Skeletor was going to, you know, use all this stuff to conquer Eternia, that was, you know, oh, I can now run the Horde, and then I can send the Horde troopers to Eternia, and all. It was just awesome. I love that. The kick that Shira gives the Horde troopers, she does one of her, you know, side split kicks or whatever the hell it is, or roundhouse or whatever it is. When she kicks them, they all turn into a giant, you know, eclipsing snowball thing and roll down the mountain. I thought that was hilarious. Yeah, this episode is just so great. Absolutely love it. But there is one thing with the Fright Zone. Oh, God.
What's that?
They would... Hordak's troops would rather go after Imp and get their revenge on Imp than actually follow Skeletor. Really? Come on now. It just...
Well... yeah, I could see that. I only have two little nitpicks, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them I really don't dislike. the first one, maybe Skeletor should not have put Shadow Weaver in a magic cage.
Yeah.
Like, you have Hordak, you have him in a magic cage. Why don't you find some other plan for Shadow Weaver? Why put both people together so they can work together?
Mm-hmm.
You had him. Come on, Skeletor. And then, I didn't mind this one, but I guess I'll put it anyways. Bo, playing, just off in the background, playing an instrument now for two straight episodes.
Yeah, hey.
I guess that's a good way to get rid of him, but he's literally just been in the background playing his little fiddle or whatever, his violin, two straight episodes. So that's what he's been reverted to. And the PSA is about forgive and forget, don't go for revenge. I guess that's a lesson that, whatchamacallit, from the show Revenge could have learned. But yeah, it's better to forgive and forget from Ricky.
She's too busy being incestuous with Captain America.
True that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more Horde bats, more protection swords, and let's see how this one rates in comparison with Luki Lends a Hand.
Hail Hydra.
A simple trick, but more than enough to fool a dolt like you. I'll show you. You need rest, Hordak. Have a little sleep mist.
Skeletor's done it. He's won.
Now, what to do with you?
Skeletor.
Shira.
I don't know what you're up to, but you're not welcome on Etheria.
This is between me and Hordak, woman.
Sorry, Bone Brain, I don't like Hordak, but I wouldn't leave a slime crawler to your brand of mercy.
Just like He-Man, always meddling. Very well, fool. Come and get it.
All right, it's more time to, more chances to hand out hardware. So where would you like to go first? Horde bats, protection swords, or do you have nothing to hand out?
I'm going to give a horde bat to all of the members of the horde that are not horde troopers, because I am sorry, getting revenge on Imp, and I know that's the whole thing of the PSA and all that stuff, but they'd rather run after Imp than even try to make deals with Skeleton. I'm sorry. Every single one of them get a horde bat. Grizzlor, Catra, Scorpia.
I didn't mind it as much as you. What? I didn't mind that as much as you did, but I can see your point.
What about you on horde bats?
No horde bats. I just got a set of protection swords. So
Hordak. Skeletor.
Skeletor gets one for besting Hordak above all. Yeah. He beat Hordak. He gets a protection sword just based on that. And yeah. Right at the end of the episode, I had to pull another one out for Shadow Weaver just for somehow doing all of this, and nobody was the wiser in the end.
Yeah, and getting away with it, yeah.
So I have a protection sword for her cleverness, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to give them both protection sword as well, Skeletor and Shadow Weaver.
All right, so a lot of love for those two characters in this episode. Was it enough to match your score from last episode? You gave a 5 out for Lucky Lends a Hand, which is just, I just thought of that. You gave a 5 out for Lucky Lends a Hand after you were bitching and complaining.
Based on the title originally, I thought that episode was going to get a 0.
Oh, man. Well, what do you give this one?
It's two Skeletor episodes in a row, and it's Skeletor versus Hordak, so 5.
5, a double 5 today. Yep. Would you like to take a guess what I'm giving this episode?
5.
4.5. 4.5 again. We're in lockstep, though.
What's wrong with you?
I'm leaving myself some wiggle room, I guess. 4.5. Maybe I'll I reserve the right to change my scores when we sum up the series. But there's not much wrong with either one of these episodes so far. Great start to today. A great turn. I even gave a last podcast episode, I gave a 4 and a 4.5 out. And now 2 4.5s. So they're doing some stuff right. We'll have to see if it continues or not as we make our way to the final episode today and we get caught up with a jungle fever.
Well, I'll tell you this. You're lucky because of Shadows and Skulls was your 4th birthday present, because I'm sorry. You did not get an episode on your 4th birthday.
No, I did not. Darn weekends. I was my birthday was on a Saturday that year, so I had to come back and wait for another episode on the Monday. So Monday. I will claim of Shadows and Skulls as my birthday episode.
That's right.
Officer anymore, Imp?
Excuse me, Madam Cat. I think we all know that already.
Ah, watch your mouth, you little beast. Or you'll have some trouble that you didn't think about.
Enough! Adora has been a thorn in my side since she joined up with the rebellion. Now is our chance. Surround her. Capture the traitor. Take her to Beast Island and throw her in the most remote prison you can find.
We'll be home soon, Spirit.
Can't be too soon for me. I'm hungry.
Tell you what, you go on. I just love walking through this part of the forest.
Are you sure?
Go on before I change my mind. Soldiers, I'm surrounded.
You are under arrest as a member of the rebellion.
and I can't change to She-Ra in front of them.
Last up today is episode 57, Jungle Fever, with an air date of Monday, November 25th, 1985, written by Don Heckman. Adora is captured and taken to Beast Island. She escapes from prison, but hurts her head and loses her memory. She then encounters a primitive human tribe of beast warriors and has to face the Great Beast. We have Hordak, Catra, Imp, Grizzlor, and Rattlor. And then we have Princess Adora and Spirit, with some other characters that we're introduced to, including Jamila, Kor, and Tandi, as far as the beast warriors. What did you think about the premise for Jungle Fever?
You know how you stand on the edge of a cliff, and because you stole your best friend's soda, he pushes you off the cliff, and you fall down 1,000 feet or something? This is an episode of the series I will never watch again.
Really?
Ever.
Okay, I sent some strong feelings in you for this one.
Yeah. You think?
Okay, I was not expecting that. Okay, on the surface, let's boil this down. Based on that plot reading premise or whatever, it would come down to our hero, it has amnesia, doesn't know who they are, and has to navigate unknown territory. All right? That's something we've seen multiple times. And it's something that does not excite me whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's different than somebody... I mean, at times it's been done okay and it's been executed decently where somebody forgets what kind of powers they have or forgets different things. But when you're taking somebody that is all-powerful, strongest female in the land, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I kind of have a problem with the way you go about her having amnesia, is her being clumsy enough to fall, hit her head, or whatever the thing you want to do to her is. So I just have a problem with the setup for why she would even be losing her memory. And if you're going to do an amnesia episode, you better be creative with it, because otherwise there's too many other episodes you can be compared to. So I'm not a fan of the plot itself.
I'm going to take the time to talk about the writer here, because Don Heckman,
okay,
we've seen his stories before, specific to He-Man and She-Ra.
Yeah.
In He-Man, he did No Job Too Small. He did Beauty and the Beast and To Save the Creatures. He is also, I believe, one, if not the only writer on the Christmas special, which we will get to this holiday season. He's also written for 1986's Ghostbusters. He has written 9 She-Ra episodes. He started on Bo's Farewell, and he will end on the Bibbit story. He also wrote 9 episodes of one of your other favorite shows, Brave Star.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what other episodes other than Bo's... he did... Between his beginning in She-Ra and now, he did Bo's Farewell, Friends Are Where You Find Them, Glimmer's Story, and then this episode. Those 3 episodes combined have to be better writing than what the fuck he did here, because I cannot stand the writing in this episode.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting such a strong reaction to this one. It was,
I shocked you last time when we recorded episode 64. You're going to get shocked at the end of this.
All right, well, let's take a break and get into it then. After the break, we'll make our last trip to the Whispering Woods for today.
Deep jungle. I'll get you! You know,
ugly fur brain. Oops. Oh. Put me down. Put me down. I've got to fight him.
Nobody's fighting anybody. Let's all calm down. He's had enough.
You ruined my test. Now I'll never be a beast warrior.
And what is a beast warrior?
The bravest and best thing anyone can be. And you got in the way before I could fight my first beast.
That's what you were trying to do? There's no bravery in fighting animals.
Then I'll fight you instead.
Don't be foolish.
No! I have to beat her in a fair fight. Why didn't you let me fight?
She interfered with your warrior initiation. The council must decide what to do with her. You won't need this for a while.
All right, one more trip into the Whispering Woods and the Fright Zone. Do you have anything you liked about this episode? I'm sensing some negativity. Anything good?
You think? Okay, so here's the thing. At first, with the whole amnesia thing, I thought this would have been a perfect way for them to rewrite the series, at least for an episode or two, to have her go back and be Force Captain Adora. Like, the whole, I thought the whole point of doing the memory loss thing for the episode was that Hordak was going to get a hold of her, like, immediately, like, as soon as she hit her head, and he was going to go back and rebrainwash her and everything else. Because this time, because she has memory loss, you wouldn't need Shadow Weaver's evil spells.
Right.
Hordak could just tell her, this is the truth, you know. He could, you know, make up some sort of videotape with, you know, Starscream dressed up as Optimus Prime or something, you know, Megatron's, you know, Hordak's master plan, something. I thought that's what was going to happen. Sadly, that's not what happened. We do get Bo in this episode. We get his voice actor anyway, but we don't get Bo himself. But it's just as bad as if it was Bo, because that, no. What do you got? Because my stuff's all Fright Zone stuff.
I only have one Whispering Woods moment, actually, for this one, and that is I do like the look of this race of beast warrior people. I like the Indian slash, you know, paint, war symbols, whatever you want to call it, tribal things. I thought they looked cool. I'm not quite sure about the muscles and the strength of this whatever age he's supposed to be kid, because he's like the Rock, and I swear he's only supposed to be like 10 or 12 in this episode, so he's got some muscles upon muscles. But I do like the look of all of them, and I think it would have been a cool group of people to see more of, maybe, but that's about the only thing that I can put positive about this one.
Yeah.
All right, Fright Zone, go away.
Fright Zone. Okay, so she loses her memory.
Correct.
But somehow, even though she doesn't know who she is, she doesn't know where she's from, she doesn't know why she has this giant sword with a jewel in the middle of it, she still knows right from wrong. She still knows it ain't right to fight. She still knows all this shit that Adora slash She-Ra normally knows. Hello, amnesia means you forget everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dumbass writing. The tribe, okay, outside of their look, the whole back and forth of, oh my god, we're so poor, we're so this, we have to share with the animals, oh my god, it's so horrible, there's not enough for all of us to go around. How about you get off your ass and do some work and then the whole thing of, oh, we must kill them because they're evil, it doesn't matter, and blah, oh. The writing in this episode is the shittiest writing in the entire Filmation series.
I don't think I can go that far.
No, I like this. If I could give this episode a quadruple zero, I would. This is the most horrible episode, at least in She-Ra.
I can't go that far. I dislike the classic amnesia story. I dislike that Adora has to fall, basically grab trees that are breaking, hit her head, etc. That shouldn't happen to her. I can see it happening to one of the other characters maybe, but not her herself. But
We have crazy stuff happening with nature again, like we always do, where they're doing stuff they shouldn't be able to do to make water go this way and land go that way and this, that, and the other. But honestly, there was nothing in the episode that really angered me, though. It was just, I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't, like, grotesquely bad to me. It was just another boring, I've seen this before type episode. So it didn't anger me like it did you, but I'm not saying it's good. So the PSA was about, it's better to be a beast protector than a beast warrior. Unless you're in the Beast Wars.
Yeah.
So be kind to your animals, folks.
And now here's a message from Megatron.
I love you.
Shut up, bitch. I'm not done.
I know who I am. And now I know what I must do with this sword. For the honor of Grayskull! Shiva. Shiva. I am Shiva!
She's a bigger prize than Adora. I'll capture her myself.
Oh, so you want to play catch a tree? You don't like that rattling? Well, neither do I.
All right, last chance to give out horde bats and protection swords. What would you like to do?
Horde bats to everybody.
Everybody? You've done everybody twice today. That's kind of lazy.
Yep, horde bats to everybody because it's just all so bad. There's no good lines. There's no quotable lines in this entire episode whatsoever. How can you give us two episodes in a row that are pretty much solidly all well done? There's a couple of nitpicks in both of the 55 and 56. But this episode is like eating ketchup 2 years past the expiration date. It's just not a Heinz 57 episode at all.
I only have one to give out. I'm going to be much more specific. I give a horde bet to Adora for falling on her ass a couple times and knocking her head.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to be stronger than that. You disappoint me, girl. Episode rating, you're giving this one a 0.
Yep, 0. And the only reason why it gets a 0, like, I would have been fine. I would have been able to justify some of the ending of the episode, of the resolution of the tribe versus the... I would have been able to at least give it a 1 or a 2. Until the fucking kid. For the lame, hanging... I'm just hanging around joke. Nope, 0. Done.
All right. I will give this one not a 0. I'm not as harsh as you, I guess, on this one. It was just an episode to me, so I will score it accordingly, and I will give it a 2. 2 out of 5 for me. It's not good, but it's not my least favorite episode. It's just kind of, it's there. So that's where I sit with that one.
You know, somebody like Tim Silvers or anybody like that are still listening, you know, they can call me out on this later, but I dare say this is going to be my worst episode of the series as far. I mean, I'm probably still going to find episodes that I give zeros to, but so far this one just takes the cake.
Well, we'll have to wait and see as we keep our tallies throughout the series and see which episodes come out best and worst, like we usually do at the end in the wrap-up. So, All right, that does it for that episode. We're going to take a quick final break, and we'll be back with our final thoughts on today's episode of Mists of Etheria. Don't die.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Do you like retro cartoons?
then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Brain, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
We brought the entire convention center to the brink of an inter-genre geek war.
Okay, Michael, if we're going to tackle this podcast thing, we've got to do something really special. It has to be cool, daily, in audio form, and undetectable by radar. Something that screams summer. I know, let's do a Phineas and Ferb review podcast. We'll call it the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym, or PALCA for short. What do you think?
I think if we're not careful, Candace is going to bust us.
You can find PALCA on the GeekCast Radio Network, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and all of the other methods you find podcasts.
We'll give you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
We are back here on Myths of Etheria, episode 65. We're, what, 90? No, I don't know. We're some sort of mathematical episode away from 125 at this point.
I'll let you do the math. You're the math person, right?
No, not really. You should know better than that. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's 90-some episodes in She-Ra, and we're through...
Yeah, we're 60. We got 60 podcasts left after this. So this is episode 58 is what we ended on. We're about halfway through almost, really.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, I gotta say, I mean, outside of one or two little episodes here and there, I've had a good two podcasts so far. I've scored probably 4 out of the 6 episodes real strong, and that was after. I think one or two where I was ready to throw the towel in. So.
Oh yeah, there's plenty of episodes and there's plenty of cartoon episodes recently where it's like, the hell is wrong with you people? And technically, even though He-Man did not show up in Of Shadows and Skulls, technically that's another crossover.
Yeah.
Because we went to Eternia, we got Skeletor. You know?
Yeah.
So,
like the crossovers.
Yeah, today. What?
I like the crossovers.
Yeah. Today we had two very good episodes and one of the worst cartoons in history. So there's that.
I don't know if I go that far.
One of the worst 80s cartoons in history.
Okay.
There you go. It was even like I would have rather have watched an episode of Mask than watch that again. Any episode of Mask, it doesn't matter. Yeah, that's right. Thank you for listening to Myths of Etheria. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, thegcrn.com. All new website, folks, so check it out.
Wrong. It's still geekcastradio.com, folks. There is no... It's an all-new website, but the new linking we didn't go with. We didn't go with the gcrn.com. So, it's still geekcastradio.com. Unleash the geek in you.
Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. You can email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Even though there's an all-new episode, or an all-new website, Steve will do a forward... Whatever. Anyway, the email address will still work. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio is the network Twitter. You can follow at Pow of Grayskull for the show Twitter. Mine is TFU and Mike. What is your Twitter?
@OptimusSolo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed the myths today, and don't forget to join us on our next adventure when we will take a look at the next three episodes, those being Black Snow. Hey, who took a dump in the snow? And then we have our first and only two-parter of the series, Anchors Aloft Parts 1 and 2.
Dun, dun, dun.
For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
The one and only Optimus Solo.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power.
When I get my hands on you!
Hi! Today I know you found me, because I was part of the story. You know, none of us have powers like She-Ra and He-Man, but we can still do lots of things that are helpful to others. I'm not very strong, and my magic is just for hiding, but I helped She-Ra and He-Man today. Size is not the true measure of one's worth. Little people, like you and me, can do big things. So don't let being little keep you from being helpful. Bye now, See you.